Everyone, welcome to More of the Mises, guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the anime series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by episode with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it is a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real-world factors that crept into the writing or the episode with typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan. I'm a lifelong fan. He's familiar with all aspects of the franchise. Ed, familiar, but really nothing he got into. And Jehu is right there in the middle, man. So how are you guys doing this week?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
I'm doing well. So this is a really dumb thing that I really need to get out, but it the way my lighting is in my office, all the lights are behind me, so it makes it dark. So to counter that, I always have a something on my monitors that's white to have like some white light bouncing off of my face. However, I normally run in dark mode, everything in dark mode. So the only thing that I can ever think of that is white is the like the Wrestling Observer's website, like the Dave Meltzer website. But that site is so ate up with ads lately. Like there's ads all over the place now. But like right now, in the bottom corner of my screen, there's like a little tiny ad for a steak. It's just like a steak cooking. And like I really want that steak right now. Like I really, I really want to go to it's like an ad for Aldi's. And I'm like, I know if I went to Aldi's and got a steak, it'd probably be the worst steak. But like I really want that steak from Aldi's right now.
Man, the Wrestling Observer website does party like it's 1999.
It's gotten worse. It used to be nothing, and it's just like as time goes on, it's like on a phone, it's completely unusable. Like you just check results or something like that, the whole screen like you get the full like frame ad.
Right.
You're like, how am I supposed to do anything? I can't do anything with this. This is useless.
Well, no, you need to get a steak, obviously. We actually
need a steak, but I need a new site to where I can go and read about wrestling that I don't watch.
Everyone, whoever knows, I have a really good bright white screen that you can put on in the background. Email it edhatestransformers@gmail.com. So yeah, actually, it's funny. We went to Aldi yesterday. My wife is like on this whole like she got into this subreddit where like watching finances, seeing where your budgeting goes and stuff. She's like, well, you should go to Aldi. I'm like, okay, man. Well, it's like a blend instrument. We go in there, she's like, we need to find fajita seasoning. No.
You get what they have.
There's fruit and there's cold cuts. And I got a couple nice slabs of baby back ribs. I grilled those last night on the green egg. Perfect. But I mean, yeah, it's a weird store, man. So yeah, you could probably find a really good steak there. I don't know.
No, well, that's the thing. Aldi's decides what you eat for dinner, not you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You don't go, let's have manicotti. Like, no, you go and go to Aldi's. You go to Aldi's and you're like, well, they have big ziti. So I guess we're having big ziti.
Well, right. It's not quite this desperate, but it's like shopping at Ollie's, mm-hmm. You don't go to Ollie's for what they got, what you want. You go there to see what they have.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It is kind of the Ollie's of food stores. So yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have those, Evan, do you guys have one of those like bin stores?
Crazy Cowboys.
Yeah. Ours got rebranded into something else. That's the most miserable place I've ever been in my life.
That is one of those places where if I wanted to get COVID, I'd go there. Because everyone who's touched those, I probably has had COVID.
The saddest I've ever been in my life is inside of Hudson's Dirt Cheap. Like it's just
it's real bad too. Yeah, man.
And then you will find some great deals there, but at what cost to your soul?
And you're like, that particle board's just a little cracked. It's probably fine.
Right.
It'll work fine. I can hold up that side of my house with that.
See, at least at Dirt Cheap though, it's like you know what's gonna be there. If you go to like Crazy Cas Boys or the ours got is called Where You Been, BIN. Where you been? Where you been? And
they renamed ours the Bidding Kings.
It's just like Amazon trucks that wrecked and they just go scoop the stuff up and put it in these plastic tubs. And it's like, so you go in one day and everything is like $10.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in the next day and everything is like $8 until like Saturday, everything's a dollar.
Yeah. By the time Saturday gets there,
they just throw it away and then it starts, and then they're closed and it starts over the next mm-hmm. Monday.
Like by the time Saturday comes around, all you have in there is like the same angel that goes in your yard that was there, and it's April now, and it's now still a dollar or whatever at this point, and no one wants it because it's got poop stains on it and stuff. That's what's there on the last day. But you might get it for like a couple bucks. You get it
for a buck, man. Like, yeah, it was real sad. I went there like one time, and it was like, I was like, man, this is just garbage. Like, this is like, who wants any of this stuff? But then I found a board game. I was like, oh, there's a copy of like Ticket to Ride or something like that. Yeah. I already have a copy, but I was like, I may as well get another copy if it's a dollar. But it was literally like a hole had been busted in the side and everything had been taken out. It was literally just a box with a big hole in the side of it. It was a dollar. Like,
they had these spotters go around. They're like, hey, don't, if you need something to open up, let us know, because people just go in there, they rip the sides open and grab, you know, whatever they needed out of something and put it in another box, take the box out there for like dollar. Yeah, okay, cool. That was what was happening. I went in there one time, it was raining.
Like, what do you need to save money on? It's a dollar.
Why? I don't know. I went in there one point, like it was raining. I was wearing a rain jacket, like a little thin rain jacket, like over my clothes, because I wear usually button down shirt and, you know, slacks. They're sure. Like, that's that, you can't wear that in here. Like, what do you think I'm gonna do?
Right.
I mean, man, if I'm not that hard up where I'm gonna try to shoplift things for a buck, I'm
like, man, I'm gonna buy these $5 $1 things to cover up the fact that I'm stealing a $1 $1 thing.
Right. They should be the least worry about shoplifting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's just the way these things are. Ours is like not as cool anymore. You don't get a guaranteed COVID when you go in there. They have like things. There's almost like Big Lots now. They're like, they have things that were in Sam's like 2 months ago, and now they're like the same price, but you don't have to go to Sam's to get them. And they're right. Just lining the shelves. They have there's like this weird He-Man figure, like Sun Man or something, and right. I have no idea what that is because I don't do He-Man stuff. But yeah, it was just, they had like a shelf full of those guys. Apparently a very popular character.
Sunman, huh?
Something like that. Who could tell me?
That'd be cool. I don't know. I mean, I know this He-Man style figures are kind of making a comeback on the grown-up collectible toy market. Have you guys seen a lot of this, mm-hmm. like running around?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. That was like a Danzig one, like a Glenn Danzig.
Yeah, I just saw the Danzig one yesterday. Me and Zach and Ethan Mann have like a toy text thread, and he sent me something that was like He-Man muscle figures, which I wasn't super interested in, but I clicked on them. And then mm-hmm. down below it, I saw the He-Man Danzig.
The Danzig figure.
And oh, I'll punch a really cute baby to get that.
Yeah, I really want them, because like I've been listening to a lot of Danzig, of like the first two Danzig records lately. Actually, the first three Danzig records a lot. A podcast that I like covered the this is a thing, this is kind of a forgotten thing, but back in the day, bands used to make VHS tapes.
Mm-hmm. I've watched that first Danzig VHS tape so many times.
It's so funny. It's hilariously funny, because he's a genuinely like affable dude in a lot of that,
because right.
Contrary to what you think about Glenn Danzig, but like, it's so funny, because like those guys are like when they're interviewing them, they're trying to like put on airs, like they're like, hey man, do you practice? I don't practice. And then it's like, dude's like ripping up some solo, but then you see them like backstage and they're just like goofing off, and they're funny dudes or whatever. And then like,
yeah, right.
But then like, I think it was like Erie Vaughn was like drawing, and it's like, the reveal of it's hilarious, because he's like doodling and he's like talking about like death and all this stuff. And they're like, so what are you drawing? And he turns the sketchbook around, and it's like all these like 70s like mushroom dudes, like he's like wizard or something like that.
I think Chuck Biscuits just talks about horror themed cereal, you know, Count Chocula and Boo Berry and stuff like that.
Well, he also says that he doesn't practice a whole lot, which is evident, because man, he is just not good on that on those first couple of records,
right?
Which is like, it's that's insane, because it was in like a million bands before,
right?
Like in like DOA and all this stuff. But
I mean, he was in Black Flag, where practice was torture.
Yeah, he was probably tired of dealing with Greg Ginn, but the real highlight of that video, though, is where Glenn Danzig is talking about his book collection at the end, where he's like giving a tour of his books, and he's like kneeling down in front of this bookshelf. He's like, welcome to a tour of my book collection. And they're like, so he's going on about all these books, and then he's talking about one that's like the lost books of the Bible, and he literally just goes, all true, all documented. And I have a t-shirt. Oh. I have a t-shirt of that screen grab. It's hilarious. So,
oh my God.
I should have worn that. I should have worn that today, but I didn't know we were going to talk about this. So.
Yeah. I just got my Eugene Walking Dead shirt on.
That that reminds me. Have you ever watched the movie Deep Blue Sea?
I saw it. Well, I saw it one time.
It's wonderful trash, but better than watching it. There's a documentary in it where they talking to Thomas Jane about sharks, and he was like, "If you knew how many sharks there were in the water, you wouldn't go in the water." And then there's this like pause, and he goes, "Coast Guard knows." And Coast Guard knows just killed me, man. Coast Guard.
I love Thomas Jane.
Yeah, no, he's great.
The only time I ever saw that movie was with a mutual friend of ours, Lee, who.
All right.
Yeah. But we had none of us had ever seen it. It was like a bunch of us watching it. We had never seen it. And then it's the part where Sam Jackson's giving the speech.
Right.
And Lee just literally goes, "Oh, the shark's going to pop up out of the water and eat him." And I'm like, "What?" And then the second he says that, he's and he grabs it. And I'm like, "Have you seen this before?" And he's all like, "No."
No. It's a trope for a reason.
I just guessed it. I'm like, God.
Speaking of movies like that, okay. You know trauma movies, man. Yeah, Traumaville stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do. The one I'd never heard of. We were watching something like Night for Last. And we fell asleep watching it. It's some movie that we had on streaming somewhere. And you know how something called autoplay right after. So I wake up and I'm like, I kind of squint, like, what does it say? And it says very nice, you know, cursive writing, rabid grannies.
I've never heard of that one, but it sounds good.
Is not good. It is so boring. It is one of the most boring. Trauma stuff usually gets pretty schlocky early, and you love it. That's the greatest thing about it. This thing went on. I'm like, I don't care about these grannies. I don't care if they're rabid or not. I hate movies like that. You're like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's like 45 minutes into this, like 1 a.m. I'm like, no, dude, this is
No. You got to watch that Class of Nukem High. That one's that's just ridiculous. Oh, yeah,
that's always great.
The onset. And it has the smithereens in it, too. So, what didn't have the smithereens in it, though? Aerial Assault.
Aerial Assault. Now, this is...
Okay, so let's go ahead and get this sequencing thing out of the way now.
Okay. So this should have been like second to last.
Second to last. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason, there's lots of reasons why. First of all, it's, it has the Combaticons in, or sorry, the Combunticons. My bad. Yeah. And I love the Combaticons, Combunticons. I'm going to get this right. I love them. They're one of my favorite teams. They are they're the jerks, but they all like work really well together. They're their own little subset of people. You know, you don't tell them what to do. You just suggest the things that, for them to do. And they might do it if they feel like it, but they're very, I don't know. They're very, I don't know. He's Onslaught is very well spoken.
Right.
I really dig it. Plus I like the vehicles. They're in this and it's just a weird episode, man. But yeah,
I was lost when I first started watching it. I was lost because they just show up, and we'll get to when they show up. But they just show up, and I was like, what? And then but I knew because you messaged me, and you're like, hey, we're doing this episode, and not the masquerade. And I was like, well, these guys showed up. They're just there, and so they first showed up though in Starscream's Brigade. So I watched a little bit of that, but it like that episode like leads into the next episode, and then which leads into this one. So this is sort of almost like the third part of a three-part thing. So I was lost the whole time.
It's kind of felt like
I kind of felt like when I started watching season two of The Rings of Power this week, and I was because it's been so long since I watched season one.
I don't remember a thing about that show. I think there was a guy with a beard.
I loved it. It was so I really liked it. I don't understand why people hated it. I think just because they're racists. But I thought it was awesome, but I just forgot the whole, it just went in one side of my head and out the other.
Except for the episodes being like an hour and 15 minutes. I liked it too, but I just don't remember it.
They were, they were a little long.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say animation numbering is crazy. I'm convinced that I'm the only person on earth that knows the correct order to watch Batman, the animated series in. And when I die, that information will be lost. Because if you look at the numbering on it, it's crazy. There'll be a part one of an episode, and then part two is like seven episodes later. Like really? Just stuff like that.
Even if you buy it, like if you own it, it's like that?
If you own it, I think it has it in a pretty good order, but I still don't think the correct order. The correct order is the order that, because, you know, when that show premiered, they were so proud of it. It came on.
It's awesome, it's show.
I mean, it's great, but it came on Saturday morning, Sunday night, and then weekdays as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the correct way to watch it is where the episodes premiered on the weekdays, I believe. That way you don't see anybody before their premiere episode or anything.
Like this. But
like in this episode where we totally see the Combaticons before their premiere episode.
So yeah. So this episode does not, I don't like the way this starts, man. This is, I'm something sketchy, not quite so appropriate for 2024 audiences is gonna happen.
Yeah,
in this one.
It hasn't aged well. Let's say that. Yeah.
I mean, this is real world concerns creeping in, not good ones.
Yeah. It's real world concerns now.
Yeah, kind of is actually.
Is it?
It's like they try to make Aladdin like a real world story or something. I don't know.
Is this Car Bombia? Is this the Car
Bombia? Car Bombia doesn't show up. Till like the third season.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is it.
You'll know when that happens.
I don't know.
They don't tiptoe around it. They'll tell you straight up this Car Bombia. They're proud of that one. Though this is okay. The thing was with this, we're trying to suss out why it showed when it did. There's pretty much the last two episodes of season two showed like right after Christmas. This and Masquerade showed like right before Christmas. So that we're kind of trying to figure, like, I think the Starscream's Brigade, no, War Dawn showed on Christmas Day. Anyways, yeah, this showed right before Christmas, and they were pushing the aerial bots with the Combaticons as a like commercials and stuff at the time. So that might have been on purpose.
Right.
I'll try to sell the
to the holiday.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that might be a good reason.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense because they go out of the way to give these two aerial bots more like depth of character than we've probably seen since like the first five or six episodes when they tried to make sure everybody got a moment.
Yeah. And I can say I actually now know which aerial bots which one is which. Because that's something I just never knew. I knew Slingshot, I knew Firefly, I knew Silverbolt. Like Skydive and Air Raid. But now I know. So
I still only know Silverbolt and the four guys with planes on their backs.
Which, yeah, sums it up pretty well.
Yeah. So a dude comes, like, he's towing a car, like a wrecked car, into this, like, Arabian village. It's like the place where, like they dropped off Marcus Brody when he was going to blend in and disappear. It's that place.
Yeah.
So he drags this thing in, and the worst, like, fake, like, Middle Eastern, like, I'll probably slip and just say Arabian at some point because that's 40 years of that, in some sort of vaguely Middle Eastern accent. Can you fix?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
This dude comes up and just kicks it and the fender falls off. He's like, I can fix that. Like, are you sure? Man, I don't know, man. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, no problem. I can fix it. Yeah, exactly, man. It's bad. It might be someone doing a bad Indian accent, might be a bad Arabian accent. Don't really know. It's just
In the early 80s, I think it was all kind of the same.
Yeah, right. Pretty much. And of course, there's the scamp, the kid who's like hanging around the junkyard, who, you know, gets, you know, kicked around and stuff and things thrown away from him. And, you know, you immediately know, oh, he's like the Raoul of the desert.
Right.
Like no one likes
him. Yeah, he is.
The first thing I noticed about him is with the heat we've had lately, I'm loving his outfit.
Mm.
That thing is so ventilated. I was really worried at certain times we were going to see his little bits, but those were, that's a good outfit. I might take up that look.
That's not a bad idea, especially he's got the neck flap thing too. That's
that man.
Real well, working in the yard, that's a good thing. But so this kid tries to steal a tire or a wheel, I guess, off of this thing. So the guy that was, I think, the owner, I'm not sure because they drew all these guys kind of the same.
Right.
So he gets mad that he's trying to steal this junked wheel and tire off this car. So he picks it up. He's going to beat him with it. So the kid runs away to a junk heap, like a junk pile, And the guy just throws the wheel at him and then just walks away. Like, well, you just gave him this wheel that you're gonna steal. Like, why did you, like, why are you so upset about this?
What? Yeah, why are you even trying loss prevention if you're just gonna throw the merchandise at the thief?
This worthless to me now.
Maybe crazy Casboys will do that if you just the $1 whatever they have, a lamp in there, whatever they have, a broken lamp.
So also we found a bunch of these storyboards for this episode, which there's some other stuff they were going to do and they just didn't do. Like for instance, there was the guy Ali, he's the little prince guy. Hassan was the prince guy. Oh, Ali was the guy who ran the junkyard or whatever. He was originally going to be named Rasan. So it's going to be Hassan or Rasan. They're like, oh, those are way too close. Or like, you're going to have a problem with everyone sounds the same. First of all, they're going to have the same names. So they changed it to Ali. So a small thing.
I mean,
that's not a bad idea.
On the one hand, it might be a little racist. But on the other hand, when I was like 10 or 11, that was probably a big help.
Yeah.
I probably would have been confused by that.
Yeah, and then okay, I don't want to get too far ahead, and I'll jump ahead on this one, but I'll bring it up in a second. So, yeah, also the dude's driving swindle. You know, I don't generally see a lot of yellow Jeep with purple hoods.
Dude, I had no idea what was going on. It was like, and this is where I was like, wait a minute. The Aerobots are like, the Combaticons are here, and you're like, like, what? So this is where I had to stop this whole thing.
Right.
Spend my entire day. This is Labor Day. This is Labor Day. My anarchist forefathers fought for me to not work today. Right. Yet here
Henry
I am.
Ford did that to you.
Who did?
Henry Ford. He's like one of the big proponents of, well, in a weird sort of way.
Henry Ford was a Nazi, my friend.
Well, he was. In a weird sort of way, he helped the 40-hour work week and stuff. That's a whole thing, man.
Look, labor unions got me today off. Yet here I am spending hours trying to figure out which episode of the Transformers comes first, and I'm real irritated. I'm all texting you all day long trying to figure out that. With the
sequence. Yeah, I sent you a list too. You're like, man, I'm sorry. You're like, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, dude, I don't know.
It didn't make sense.
I think what I love the most after this is, like, 80 plus episodes, and then this, you're looking for stuff to make sense.
I mean. Look, it has to have internal logic, all right?
Oh, yeah, of course it does. And just like the scaling has to work perfectly in this, too. We'll get into that.
Brother, the scale, oh. I'm about to break the rules
again. I thought, as Transformers episodes go, the scaling was pretty good in this
one. Oh, no, we'll get into it. So the Combaticons are in the Aerobots have like a little dust up here. And somebody, I don't know who these Combaticons are. I think I thought it was Astrotrain. But it's not Astro Train because this is like a...
No, it's Blast Off.
This is like a Space Force space shuttle.
Man, I need to talk about this, dude. So here's the thing. And this is not like a grown-up thing where I'm re-examining this. I can remember thinking this as a kid. The premise is robots in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you're a robot and you change into a car to blend in on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's like... 3 space shuttles in existence, and they're all the same color scheme. The Skepticons have 2 space shuttles. What are they blending in with? And they're all colored wrong.
They're purple. They're black and purple. They're both black and purple. That's a slick color scheme, though. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, it is a good look.
Oh yeah,
I'm a fan of black and purple. So.
Well, also the fact that this isn't exactly the last space shuttle transformer. There's Skylynx in season 3. Astrotrain, of course. So I mean, yeah, there's 3 shuttles that are in existence, and there's 3 transformers that are shuttles. So maybe they, I don't know. No, it was a bad look. But also the fact that a space shuttle is not aerodynamic at all.
No, it's a giant brick.
This is the least it glides. It's like, okay, here's a brick with these little wings on it to help glide in. They're the worst things. So it is not dogfighting in a canyon.
Oh, he's dogfighting in a canyon and calls on a turkey shoot. Isn't that right, turkeys? Hunting down the Aerobots. That was good. That was a good line. I actually kind of, yeah, that was dad joke level there.
I thought the dogfighting was pretty solid in this.
Yeah.
Again, for a Transformers episode.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's really cool. Sometimes it's pretty awesome. But then the Autobots just show up. Like Like they're just cruising around in the Middle East somewhere, where they're driving around
Right.
the desert. Like that's
Just like they end up in the that was it that one episode that they were in the just exact geometric center of like Africa or something like that one episode. They just showed up.
Right. I forgot about that one. Well,
Dude, they're no problem, man. They'll drive from Oregon to wherever you need to be in 5 minutes.
they'll drive to like Australia. You know, they'll drive down
Yeah.
there. They'll drive it up from the Bahamas.
Well, they do have those skis.
They did.
You have
Or they
ski,
could
they can
surf
well,
at
they can
one
surf
time.
also. They
Yeah, that's true. They could surf.
famous surfers. So
But yeah.
there's a like one of these aerial bots crashes into a cave, and because I guess they all forgot that they can transform into robots and do things, and these crashes. And but there's this really funny scene where like Optimus Prime and one of the aerial bots like lifts up all this rubble, and then like hoist it goes in and pulls this guy out, right? And it was
Yeah.
like, but then like then they just like drop all this rubble, and like the aerial bot gets like caught under it, and they move like two pebbles, and he pops up and goes, "Thanks," and he cuts immediately.
You forgot the most important part of this, though. Silverbolt and Optimus Prime are holding air, a skydive up as an archway.
It was skydive that got buried. Yeah, he
Yeah,
was like, yeah,
yeah.
he just pops
He's
up,
like, hey,
and he's
thanks, guys.
literally like thanks, and it's for you. Thanks. Slingshot apparently is the smallest jet of all time. This dude is the size of like a Mini Cooper.
Yes, there are
Okay,
those
that
old like
was one
Korean War.
scaling issue that was bad.
Yeah, there's like
One.
these Korean War style jets there. I know you know the kind of jet that they are.
Don't want to get into it. Yes, I
Okay.
know the point.
Yeah. So the Korean War era jets that are sitting in there, and they pull him in. He's like he could fit inside half of one of those jets, and like that. No, he's a
Oh
hero.
and then after they do this though, I guess they decide they're gonna make like a sting operation here. They're gonna transform and blend in. They're gonna be in disguise. They're using the they're using
Right. They're using their moniker. Look at that.
And then as they're waiting, a bunch of these bad guys from Aladdin come in with skill saws, and they
In
start
laundry trucks.
trucks.
They're putting wings in a laundry basket, putting dirty sheets over it, and throwing it in the back of a laundry truck.
Dude, these guys, there's like one dude that'll like pick up like the entire like nose cone and cockpit of a jet. Talk about
Yeah.
scaling issues. This is man, they were putting like the whole like front third of a jet fighter into like a laundry basket and rolling it up in a van.
Well, I just love that the Autobots' plan in this was, hey, let's allow ourselves to be dismembered to
Like,
solve this crime.
why didn't they like, okay, we're about to get sawed up, and we should probably transform and do something
Right.
to figure out what's going on here. Not we're just that's fine. Like it's like let's just play dead, and then like when the monster eats us, we'll like as he's digesting us, we'll come back to life, and then we'll beat the
I mean, I
monster.
guess it's like the Autobot equivalent of like an undercover cop who gets addicted to drug to break up the drug ring. They allowed themselves to be dismembered to break up a chop shop. It's commitment.
Yeah, yeah. These guys were super method here, man.
Yeah.
These
But
people
the
are. These guys are
beauty
Daniel
of this
Day-Lewis
is,
method.
well, the scaling of this is so great that two full-size jets, a Harrier and an F-16, are broken down into laundry baskets in three trucks. Three laundry trucks, and they're taken apart in 10 minutes. I mean, I didn't know you could take apart a jet like any kind of jet like that. Three
With a
minutes,
saw.
boom, boom,
With a
boom,
saw.
with a skill saw. Yeah,
Yeah.
and then okay, the beauty is they get to the place, and they're sitting there on the ground like two cockpits, and they're like, hey, let's just if they start reassembling us, they're gonna figure out who we are, and then we blast off is gonna tear us up or whatever he said. And how do you not see the glaring Autobot symbol on their cockpit?
It's right in his face. He looks right at it.
Apparently, Blastoff's an idiot.
Yeah.
They should have got those ones you had to rub with your finger
Yeah,
before you could show up.
they
Yeah, like the ones from what was it? What were those guys? Battle Beasts?
had these on Transformers too.
I
Yeah.
know. I'm saying it
Oh
was like the
yeah.
same
Oh
thing. It's
yeah.
like
Which
were they
are
called? Were
you?
they called Battle Beasts?
Yeah, they were. They were
Yeah.
they were something else in Japan. Actually, they had an episode of Headmasters in Japan, like the series after season three. And they had a whole thing, like a little story arc where they go to the planet Beast, and they're like, they have to work out with the Transformers and try to find out what's going on. Because, yeah.
Please
Anyway,
tell me that it's called the Planet Beasts. Is that the name of the planet?
Planet Beast.
The Japanese show was really literal with his names.
Oh, yeah.
The Headmasters were from the planet Master.
Yep.
The Battle Beasts were from the planet Beast.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Confused over there.
The Planet Beast is like the perfect band name for some like crappy like sludge metal band, and I'm
100%.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. Hey, but so yeah, man, they start. I guess he goes in and he's like, I'm gonna go touch this one panel and Silver Bowl like shorts out a panel like to make it look like he's all shorted out. Like, oh, these are junk. These are cheap knockoff jets. We don't need these.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Beauty of this is originally Hassan. I'm starting to try and get the names right. Hassan was he was trying to get to, according to the storyboards, disguise Skydive and Silverbolt as refrigerators, like have them transform and like make them look like refrigerators. And it was going to cause Swindle is going to like be like, huh, what are these? And he discovers them, so they knock him out somehow, and then like. So Slingshot's like, hey, check this out. If you go and you open up this chest and you hit this little wire in there, it wipes out a short-term memory. There's a whole subplot they're going to have this episode. They're like, let's just dig out.
See,
I'm sad they didn't do that.
I know. It would have been great.
Same. I mean, I was going to say that this episode seemed like it was like chopped up and like there was a lot of things missing from this or something. It was like, it seemed like a lot of ideas were there and none of them were really fully hatched, but there's a funny part where they're making these like Decepticon drones or something like that, and they're arming them with these Decepticons or putting missiles on them. But the missiles are all purple, of course, because they because they're Decepticons. They have to be purple. That's the only color they can be.
Well, it'd been like a Cobra jet would have had purple missiles. It's all branding. Purple's evil, you know, bad.
Purple's bad. Right. That's bad guy stuff. In the 90s, it's bad guy stuff. It wasn't until like, I don't know, man, like Evangelion until you could be purple and be a good guy.
Right.
That's kind of a whole side chat if that's they're actually good guys. But yeah. So anyways. I'm trying to see where we're at in this. I'm like, it jumped around so much. I'm looking at my notes, like, yeah. So Egatron's over there talking to Ali about what? Okay, bye, Ed.
my dog came in.
He's over there talking to Megatron's talking to Ali about what they're trying to do, and they're talking about the drone jets, and that's going to help them take control of the Mideast oil fields. Real world factors, man. This is 1985,
man. This is the like you could have made this any year in the last like 50 years, and this would have been the most topical episode of all time.
Yeah,
right.
And the beauty of all this is the Decepticons have finally thrown away the green energy. They're not going to do solar power anymore. They're not going to do hydropower anymore. They're just going right for the oil.
Right. Because every time they do, the Autobots show up and blow them up.
Yeah, green energy is not good for the Autobots to, you know. Yeah. Good point. The Autobots are all about, non-renewable resources. Because they don't care. They get the stuff anyways for free. All the energy they want. Remember that?
Maybe they made a deal with the government.
Yeah. With all the governments.
That's right. It was the Earth's governments. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they had the big like diode in their in Teletran 1. It was like world energy chip labeled and everything. So you didn't forget.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a caravan. Like all these guys are taking these parts to the to the Decepticon or to somewhere. I'm not really sure where they're going, but Ali is like on a motorcycle behind these guys, and he does this kind of trick move where he has like a dowsing rod looking thing and opens up the back of one of these laundry trucks and jumps up in there, right?
He
makes friends with the aerial bots. And then jumps back down, but he follows him into this compound. Like no one noticed this kid on a motorcycle behind him. He's just there. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's with he must be with them. That's fine. That's how you get into conventions for free, by the way. If you ever go to like Dragon Con or Mega Con or like San Diego, if you just walk in behind somebody that looks important, and you're just like walking behind some stormtroopers, you'll get right in.
I'm the handler. Oh, I'm just
with them. I keep them hydrated. It's very hot in there.
Yeah, the he goes in there and like he starts like trying to mess around. Like, what do they have in here? It must be really important. They're guarding it like this. And he have like areas like, hey, Silverbolt, shut up. We're going to be seen. And like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're found out. And they transform their chest and head They're just like two chests and head, like, you found us out. We're trying to find out what's going on with this, these jet thieves.
And they're the size of a dude. Jet fighter. These are the size of a dude.
They go like, they're like, oh yeah, slingshots, like, oh man, they took my arms, put on that stupid car, which I guess that's what they do. They like they weld car, like, car parts onto these like Mad Max looking, I don't know, they're like Mad Max meets with those weird Hot Wheels things you'll see, like, has like three mufflers coming out the sides and stuff. Those like old in addition Hot Wheels, and they drive those to that yard, I guess, dismantle all the pieces from the planes, like, trying to drive in disguise or something.
This is totally fine with me. This is like Warhammer Orcs here with like just made like, where we made a car out of a tank and a jet fighter, and like we painted it red so it goes faster. This is exactly what like, that's a real thing in the game. That's a real thing, oh, yeah, by the way. Like you legitimately bullet. Like, you get to move further if you actually physically paint your models red. But so they show up at this place, but there is a giant purple robot griffin. What in God's name is going on?
And it's not even a plot point that they have this giant flying Thundercats fortress. It's easily the coolest thing in the episode, and it's not even really a thing.
It's a set piece.
It's just there, but it like, it plays into the episode, and it, like, nobody mentions, like, hey man, where did this thing come from? Who built it?
They don't give it a name.
Who owns it?
Like, nobody references it ever.
Is there a third party toy of this? Please tell me somebody's made.
I'm sure you could probably make one. I'm sure someone has made like a fan made, you know, version of this. It looks like some weird, like, that someone took like a weird, I don't know, Shogun Warrior and put it on like a toy of something else, like a toy horse. It looks so weird, and spray painted it purple.
It's so weird, yeah.
And it's a derpy looking griffin too. It's a bad looking griffin.
It really is.
The thumbnail for the episode, you know, I got Buddha make a really cool looking one, and the thumbnail looks infinitely cooler than the one that's in the show. The one in the show looks like a really derpy AT-AT version of a griffin. It looks terrible.
well we're gonna get to the AT-AT stuff in a
couple. Exactly.
But so this aerial bot needs some parts, so they so Ali takes the grill off of a Rolls Royce, like, that's what he needs. That's the part, that's the missing part there, that he needs to transform into a jet fighter. Is the grill from a Rolls Royce?
Hey, you know, he looks good though. He's like, hey, this is pretty nice, and flips it over and transforms it, turns gray. But that the Rolls Royce grill, it comes in because it comes and goes.
Well, it's gonna come and go, and towards the end, it's gonna come and go like a lot.
Right.
This was real weird. Yeah, he's got like a gold thing. It's like it looks so weird and like out of place. It's like when you see those yes, I don't see them a whole lot anymore. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see like these Volkswagen Bug conversions where people, they would have like a Rolls Royce like front. You guys right. remember these things? Know.
Yeah.
I used to see them all the time when I was a kid, and like no one makes those anymore. What happened to that? Bring that back.
100.
Bring them back. Please bring them back.
Oh, okay. I want to see one of these now. I got to look at
you've
that.
Never
that.
Seen it. You've never
I
seen
don't that. Remember this, man. I you know, dude, I, all the weird janky stuff I saw around Pensacola, I'm sure someone had one at one point, but I'll look.
There had to have been. I mean,
it had to have been.
Like a Baja Bug back in the day. You just see Baja Bugs all the time. Those things are great.
Those are fantastic. I love those things.
Yeah.
Is it an urban legend that if you have a Rolls Royce and it's somehow infirmed, if it has a problem, that Rolls Royce will come and fix it for you?
I've never heard that. I don't know.
I've heard that before. And I wonder if that warranty applies when you give your grill to a sentient robot.
What about the Volkswagen? What if you put it on Volkswagen? Do they have to come fix it every other week when they break down?
The Rolls Royce people show up like, this looks like a Rolls Royce, but it doesn't check out. We'll fix it anyways.
Yeah, like I fooled him.
I think it's just some urban legend that followed out of the old PV amp guarantee, where if your PV amp was broken, you could mail it to the PV corporation and they would fix it.
We live like in like a 45 minutes from the PV factory.
Why I
would you
know.
do anything over there? Like, that's ridiculous.
Dude, they like
Yeah, that's no, I've never heard that about the Rolls-Royce. The only this is relevant to probably the three of us and none of our listeners, but where we live, there is downtown, there is a Rolls-Royce parked in front of some townhouses, and
Yeah, it's been
for
there forever.
years it was yeah, well, for years it was people were like, oh, that was John Lennon's Rolls-Royce. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
you never heard that?
I know what you're talking about. I never heard that.
You know what I'm talking about there, right? Right
Yep,
by
I
the
know
bridge.
exactly what you're talking
Yeah.
about.
Yeah, that's the thing. For years I've heard that's John Lennon's, that was somebody got it from John Lennon, and that was John Lennon's Rolls-Royce. It never drives anywhere. I don't even think that I think the tires are like dry rotted off. I think they're probably the same ones from when I first saw it in like 1988, but it's supposedly John Lennon's Rolls-Royce.
That's pretty dubious. But how about the okay, there's that one guy who has converted a boat into a car and drives it randomly down Palafox. You've seen that, right?
Oh yeah, I saw that guy the other day.
Yeah, like it's the weirdest thing, and there's no reason for it. He's just I wanted to have a boat car. That's it. It's dude, Pensacola has just weird janky things like that. I don't
Pensacola will do some weird things with cars when they get money. There's some guy around that has, I believe it's a Ferrari dressed up, like painted up in Mario style.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
that is no, it's a Lamborghini. He's like a YouTube millionaire. That's
Yeah,
his
him
name
is he
is
got one for his girlfriend.
yeah,
Yeah,
that his
because
name
there's
is
a store of his stuff in the mall.
oh th yeah, that's Super Mario Logan
Yeah.
is that guy. Yeah.
Apparently he's a decent dude from what I understand. That looks really terrible and garish. But
Yeah.
you got YouTube millionaires, man. I guess you gotta stand out or something. I don't know. Freaking Pensacola. So yeah, man. Oh, is it okay? Ali, I'm trying to get the names right. I don't want to have that anyone make the joke they all look like because they don't. Ali is
Prince
the young
Ali.
kid. Yeah. He's the
Prince
young kid.
Ali.
He's the Aladdin kid. He
Fabulous he. Ali Ababa. Strongest 10
Oh.
regular men. Fabulous he.
You're not done yet, man. Yeah, well, I'll go.
That's all I know from that, from the song.
Yeah.
I'm not doing
So
anything else. I'm done.
he sneaks onto the Griffin before it sets out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, man, whatever. And the doors close, and he's like, oh, well, let's look around in here. Oh, look at that. There's the exact same weapons panel we need for Slingshot. It's wrong.
And
It's all
I,
different
as
right there.
some dude, can just recognize that.
Oh, yeah. This dude's like Spike and the wheelchair guy, like all in one. This dude's like, he's friends with the Autobots and he's smart. Like, that's,
I was gonna say he's like early days Spike. He's like early days Spike before Spike was like, hey, I'm not gonna get taken hostage every episode. You know, like
People shoot at him all the time. He's always getting shot. He's a, yeah.
Look at this one, man. Eventually, we get to the movie. You're going to see Spike. He matures a bit. It's good for him.
He learns cuss words.
He does. And yeah, so oh, you look like you're looking something up. Let's so yeah, he goes and finds this in there. So it's the weapons panel is like it's installed there. So he's trying to unscrew it, and the Griffin opens these top, these two guns out of the top because the Aerobot's coming out, and the best two helmsmen are on that. It's Rumble and Frenzy. They're the best two helmsmen. I love these guys. Yeah, make sure I will shoot
Okay, first of all, so they have these drone jets, right? Why do they have these? Why was this such a like, hey man, we got to build these drone jets. Brother, you guys have six jets that transform. Plus Blitzwing. And then you also have Astro Train, and then you also have this dude from the Kamunticons. You have a ton of you got a whole like strike wing over here.
And you used to have just unlimited unnamed seekers that showed up that just for some reason stopped working for you.
Where are those cameras? I need those guys
Right?
back.
Where are
Those guys rule.
the cameras? He became mail order only. You can't get him anymore. So he's not in the
Nice.
show.
That's the that, that's I, like. Like I've said on here before that I don't really like to buy toys anymore. Apparently, except for Glenn Danzig, He-Man figure with the blood variant from the Sam Hain record. But Like, I really want those camera robots really bad. Like, I really like that's like that and Soundwave are like yeah, those are like on the list of dudes.
Yeah, you gotta hook it with the Soundwave at some point somehow. It's cool, man. But so there's this whole fight that goes on between the Combaticons and the aerial bots, and you know, Fireflight for some reason is not there. I don't know where he's at.
I guess he's just slow. He was partying. I don't know.
Man, he's just like, he woke up and he's like a little hungover. He's a little slower than the others. He's like, wakes up like, dude, what did I do last night? Where am I at? He's the only aerial bot that's not there. And so they can't form Superion when the Combaticons are going to start forming Bruticus, which I know another reason why I like the Combaticons so much. They're the only combiner that doesn't sound like an idiot when it's combined.
Right.
They actually sound like a competent like combiner.
Right.
But he Slingshot, in an attempt to keep them from combining, jumps on Blastoff and just like rides them through trees and stuff. I don't know how to stop anybody.
So this Griffin has hair, like he has a mane that's like tentacles. It's like,
I've seen that porn.
He's got like robot hair. This is cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, they put so much thought into this part of the show and so much work into designing it. And at no point is it really a part of the plot. It's just,
you can't buy it. You can't buy that guy. I can go buy these dudes that get blown up constantly. These dudes that can't fight to save their lives. But like this massive cool thing, I can't buy that. I can go buy that. You know what you had to do with this case? You had to go buy that stupid GoBots headquarters and use him for that.
It's about as good.
I feel like this must have been just one rogue storyboard guy who like tried to backdoor his personal thing in there.
And Doug Booth is like, yeah, man, that works. Let's just throw it in there. Yeah.
Was this a Doug Booth? Okay.
I was like, yeah, Carl from the mailroom really likes Griffins. We're going to make him a purple Griffin in this one. I don't know why, but he got the storyboard guy. He paid the storyboard guy to make one.
You're familiar with the Randy Macho Man Savage promo of the cream of the crop thing, right?
Where boy, am I!
Like, okay, so you know the one where he's got the little creamers and he's all like the cream of the crop.
I've literally watched it in reverse.
But the reason he did that was because the dudes apparently were sitting around backstage and they were like, it was like a bet. They were like, hey, I bet you can't do a promo using this random thing. And they would just toss something or whatever. And somebody threw him a coffee creamer and he's all like, oh, I can do that. And so he went right in and just went right into that whole deal. And that was what that was from. And it's like, he cut one of the best wrestling promos of all time. Right. Just on that lark or whatever. And I wonder if it was like that. They were like, hey, Doug, I bet you can't make a Transformers show with the Griffin in it. He's
like, dude, can I? It'll be perfect.
Griffin, brother. And yeah.
Dude, that is one of the eras of wrestling I grew up with. I miss so much. Just the perfect, like ad-libbing guys.
Right. Like
Macho Man Randy Savage. You know, Hulk Hogan wasn't even that great with that, I don't think. He just had his shtick and he did it really well. But there's like Junkyard Dog. These guys are great. They just like, yeah, we'll do it. Sure, man. Let's do something.
The Road Warriors, that stuff was insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you mix cocaine and steroids. you get the Road Warriors.
I will tell you guys. Firm balance to begin with. Like, you're adding that already on a shaky vessel.
I will tell you guys, I've been really obsessed with finding these, like, really like low rent, like post, you know, WWF, like, you know, the takeover of everything, all these little regional promotions went away. And then so people tried to pop back up and like reclaim that the territory system or whatever in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. But like finding those promos lately has been the best thing ever. And I will tell you guys to look up a dude called the Sinister Minister of Fear. This isn't the Sinister Minister from ECW. This is a totally different guy. This is the Sinister Minister of Fear.
That's amazing.
He's specifically of fear.
Of fear.
The regular Sinister Minister has a broader base.
Right.
Specifically fear.
Yeah, his practice is limited only to fear and fear-related portfolios. So,
I gotta write this down.
Yeah, this dude... I'll send the link to you guys. But this dude's insane, and he's got like a whole like stable of guys that are like monsters or whatever. Like he's got like a dude in like a Jason mask, and then like a dude in like a Frankenstein or whatever. And it's like but they're like it's like they went to like a store. They went to like Spirit Halloween in like 1989 and bought these masks and put them
nice.
On. And it's hilarious. It's like some of the best stuff. And like I've backed these. I've had to watch these promos on repeat because I'm like crying laughing at these things. It's so good. So
God, that reminds me of something that that occurred after Transformers. And I don't know if you Jay, if you remember this. There was a show called Inhumanoids.
Oh boy, I remember
Humanoids. Yeah. It was all about the like, you know, humanity digs too deep and they discover this thing that's locked in this huge thing of amber. But the monsters that came from this were like nightmare fuel monsters, like Decompose and I was a tentacle one. They had like these crazy, like, you know, monsters that were really cool. And all the Earth forces had to go get in suits of like different specialized armors and go down there and fight them.
We talked about that early on in this show,
like episode
3 or 4 or something like that. We talked about those guys, and that was the time where my dad like censored me buying toys, where he was like, "No, you can't have that," because it was like the Decomposed was like this giant like skull head, like
dog skeletal skull
head thing, but he had like a his rib cage would open up and you could put like a thing in there and it would capture it.
Yeah. They were really heavy designs to sell to a kid.
Yeah, they were.
I mean,
the show was dark. It was really nicely animated too. I went back and watched it recently.
It wasn't as hopeless dark as Thundar the Barbarian is, which my God, show. How did they show that to me when I was like 8? No wonder I'm like this.
Yeah. Ookla the Muck.
I mean, the opening credits of that show is the world ending.
Yeah. That's what they started with. Well, every background is like the spires of like smashed up like skyscrapers.
Every background is like this horrible, like really simplified freschetta painting, right. And it looks like Conan. Well, it's like a Conan thing. So it's that bleak too,
right?
It's so good.
I gotta go back and watch it. Wasn't that a Jack Kirby thing?
Kirby, Steve Gerber, and I think. Toth are all involved in that. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense then. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. If we're going to bring something back, bring that back.
Where's oh, God. That right. I don't know. I kind of fear for that because, I mean, they did a good job with the He-Man show. That looked really good. The one on Netflix.
Yeah.
What was that that show that the Samurai Jack guy did like a couple of like last year, year before?
Primal? I can't think of the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Now. Yeah. Primal?
There's Primal.
Yeah.
Primal. Like, that was the best show on TV. It was so good.
It just speaks through violence.
Yeah. Like there's like no dialogue. It's amazing. So, but speaking of violence though, man, one of these aerial bots pulls the Empire Strikes Back move going back to the AT-ATs. They pull they put the lasso around the legs. Yeah. And they drop Bruticus down like this.
Well, that's
too early to be homage. That's just theft.
Oh yeah, it came out in 85. They animated this thing in early 85. That was straight up theft.
Yeah, that's 5 years, man. That's a long time in kid years.
That's true. I guess. Well, but you know he didn't have any weapons, so he had his grappling hook.
That was somehow it was so fast he could shoot it forwards while he was flying. Yeah. Which was like bro, you're a Concorde.
No, that was Silverbolt. He's still a Harrier, but he's still a jet.
Oh, Silverbolt is. I thought he was. Slingshot. He is the Concorde.
Silverbolt's Silverbolt's Concorde. Yeah, Slingshot.
Oh, Slingshot was the one who shot it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that kind of makes sense though.
Yeah, his name Slingshot.
Yeah, he pulled a Holly. Yeah.
He's got to do something with the string.
Sure.
Ah, nice. I didn't put that together.
Dude, they finally formed Superion, and it's the least climactic. Like merge of all time, like it's just like oh hey form into Superion, and then that's they're done they're formed. It's like bro, I grew up watching Voltron where like a third of the show was them like forming into Voltron.
I literally thought the same thing. It's specifically at this spot more than any other Transformer thing is where was their dramatic. They could have saved so much money with some dramatic Voltron, you know, particularly since they have multiple. Combiners, they could have just made that half an episode.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That Voltron scene where they form Voltron, man, they use that so many times. If you watch that, it's like, man, the it's all scratched up and grainy looking. Like it's like you're watching the thing and it's like crystal clear animation, and then they form into Voltron. And it's like, hey man, like Bro, we've used this thing too many times, man. This mold, like the film is just destroyed, and like it's like
cells are faded.
Going from like deep, it's like going from like a Blu-ray to like a VHS, like a Betamax. Like it's so bad, like watching that.
And man, when that music kicked in, when that Voltron was combining music kicked in, it had the same effect on me as probably when you gave the Road Warriors a little bag of white powder.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like, I just went nuts when that music hit.
No, I agree. That's the same feeling I get now when like I'm somewhere and then like I hear like the opening riff from like Tom Sawyer comes on.
Right. I don't know. Robotech, the opening song for Robotech does it to me.
Yeah. I hate
it. I know you hate it. I don't know how you hate it. It's so good.
God, I hate it. It's so bad.
It's so good.
It's so bad.
You're wrong.
Because watch Macross. Dun, dun, watch dun. The Japanese Macross, and it's such a good, like the music is so good. And it's like because Robotech has three pieces of music and they use them over and over and over and over. And you're like, man, I've heard the same three like motifs over and over again. This is terrible. So we still need to cover that, by the way. So
yeah, we will. That should be a side thing. We should do that in chunks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, it hasn't aged well, but there's some things that are really cool with it. But yeah, man. So
I feel like you guys get more sidetracked when I'm here, so I apologize.
Don't apologize.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It's fine.
I don't know, man. I think it depends. I think it depends on I think the sidetracks are in different parts when you're on, so it's fine. So Bruticus hits a back body drop here, and this was cool because I nerd out anytime somebody does a wrestling move in the show. That was cool. He growls a whole lot. He's like he's a Frankenstein. Like he just growls. He sounds like Frankenstein, like or a Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, there you go. The creation.
Yeah. See, I'm tired of that argument. You can call him Frankenstein. You can call him a Frankenstein.
You can call him Frankenstein's monster if you want to. We all know what that means. You can call it whatever you want.
If you say Frankenstein, I know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
I'm tired of that pedantic nonsense about it. It's
when I want to really be specific, I call it a Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
You know, when you ask for a Coke, you're asking for whatever cola's on hand.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so it's like, okay, they call, if you call him a Frankenstein, that's fine, because he was like a creation of Dr. Frankenstein. It's like, if I say, like, hey, man, like, I have a Frank Frazetta hanging in my office. I have a Frazetta in my office. I don't have Frank Frazetta. I don't have him. Right. And I have, a creation of his in my office.
Right.
Like, I really hope you don't have him in your office.
Yeah, dude. I have Silver Warriors hanging. The frost giant with the polar bears pulling the sled. I have it right there.
It used to
be back there, but I swapped it out with that Cure poster that from last year for my birthday last year.
Nice.
The best concert I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, dude, a bunch of nonsense happens here. There's a big brawl, and I don't remember what happened.
There was like this really cool they did this really cool real quick scene where the Griffin is shooting at the Superion, so they're like split and they all split and they fly off, and I kind of like that kind of stuff.
I do too.
Yeah, that is just cool. It's almost like it was like the Scramble City kind of thing. Like they were like, okay, this is bad for us, let's get apart, and it's harder to hit, but you come back together. I like that kind of stuff. It's well, like they're modular in a way.
Well, because one thing that always bothered me about Voltron even as a kid, if forming Voltron and forming Blazing Sword is always the answer, why don't you just always have that ready?
Yeah, go right for it. Yeah.
But this showed, okay, sometimes there's a usefulness to being separated. So I liked that.
Yeah, I really dug it. It was great. And so everything kind of gets resolved. I don't even know what happened with the Griffin. I forgot.
No, I don't know. Like,
it just wasn't useful.
I think
anymore.
They shot it down, but yes. It's again, for the size of it, it didn't get the like Death Star style explosion it should have.
it just went away.
No.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even have anything to say about that.
Like the aftermath here, though, like they're hanging out. So it's revealed that the whole time that Ali was the prince of the
twist ending,
Prince Jamal.
Yeah. And it was like, okay. Like this whole plot that nobody cared about the entire episode, like here, oh, hey, it's resolved. You're like, I don't know about this.
I want to resolve the Purple Griffin. That's what I want to resolve.
That's the plot I'm here for.
That's the best part of the episode.
Yeah.
There's a thing in there that I think was kind of messed up. So when we meet the kid, he's trying to steal the tire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he? Yeah.
Then later he says to one of the Aerobots, "I am no thief." And clearly he is. The first thing we saw him doing was stealing. So does that mean because he's the prince, he just thinks everything is his? Because that's messed up.
I mean, technically, in a lot of Middle Eastern nations, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but also, got to steal to eat, got to eat to live.
Right.
I don't know the rest of that song.
You're so close every time. What are the female Zentradi warriors called? What are they called?
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've watched Robotech. I don't remember. I don't know a whole lot about those things.
don't lie.
Female power armor, I believe, is what it's.
What are they called?
A female power armor.
No. Okay, we'll move on. I know you don't want to. You forgot already. It's fine.
So Slingshot, Slingshot's standing here, and he's doing the. Oh my god! Like he's like doing this thing, and he's just like moving his hands, and then the Rolls Royce part comes back and goes away, and comes back and goes.
You want this back?
You want it back? Yep, and he's like, nah. I just work on junk cars as a hobby. Oh,
junk Rolls Royces is a hobby. Oh, that's fun. Oh wait, I'm junk. Yeah,
he's junk.
Yeah. You are.
But she'll always be a Rolls Royce to me.
That's sweet.
Real world factors creeping into this, though. Did you know that the engines in a Harrier are actually Rolls Royce Pegasus engines?
Huh, I did not know that.
Right on.
Of course you did.
Yeah, because much like Samsung, LG, Yamaha, they make they'll make you a piano. They'll also make you a Vulcan cannon. They'll also make you a car or a refrigerator or a bomb. Whatever. GE. They'll do the same thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Well.
Yeah.
How long are you holding on to the Harrier and the Rolls Royce thing? You knew that immediately, didn't you?
You know what's funny about that is that I've known that for like a million. I've known that since I was a kid. I've known that Rolls Royce made those engines since I was a kid. I've known they made all kinds of engines since I was a kid. I literally just now pieced that together. Like literally, oh, really? As I was talking to you guys, I pieced that together.
Nice. See, we sidetracked just long enough for you to get it. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, man. Honestly, everything was cool just to have the Combaticons in it. Combunticons. I'll get it right. Devastator, Combunticons. Yeah, I'll get it all right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, let's hear it. What do you think?
I'm so irritated that we watched this out of sequence because I feel like I watched part three of a three-part thing without seeing parts one and two. I didn't know what was going on. It wasn't like I don't know, man. It wasn't. I don't think it was terrible. I don't think it was. There was a lot of things that were like, why did that happen? Or like, I feel like they were trying to cram too many things into this and none of them really came out terribly well. I think if they would have just had like one Transformer hanging out with this prince and this, and them doing the whole like prince thing. And then, that reveal, it probably would have had a little more gravity. But I mean, there was some cool stuff, and there was, some of the fights were cool. I think they could have been a little cooler. And also just seeing the Combaticons, the Combunticons out of nowhere was real jarring to me. So, I initially put down, my adult brain, went, two stolen tires out of five, but I'm probably going to bump that up a little bit. I'm going to go up to, because it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad. It was fine. I'll give it three stolen tires for adult brain. Kid brain though, like probably because there was just so much weird stuff going on in it. I'd probably go 3.5 bloody Eerie Vaughn figures from the cover of Samhain's Initium album. That dude Greg stole from t-shirts that dude Greg stole from me out of five. So Greg McGreg of the Clan Greg stole from me.
Right.
Yeah. He borrowed that
Greg
shirt
from Fleckner of the
I let him borrow my Samhain Initium t-shirt for like Halloween one year and I never got it back.
I'm going to derail just for a second again. And this may be something you need to cut out because this is really just for me and you, Ed. You remember the Batman outfit?
The Batman outfit?
Yes.
Which one?
Okay. Me and Zach, and I can't remember the third party. It could have been you. I don't know. Maybe it was Steven. We went into Target, and there was a Batman Forever full Halloween costume on clearance. And we bought it, and it fit me. And I just put it on in the parking lot and started walking around shopping center.
That must have been Steve, man. That was probably Steve.
And, you know, like old ladies were trying to give me hard candy and stuff like that. But then when we got back to Werther's. Zach's house, the like joke was over and I just took it off. But for like months after that, Greg McGreg would just wear it around. And you could like see his like naughty bits through it and stuff. It was very upsetting. And he wouldn't even wear the whole thing. He just liked that it was skin tight. He didn't wear the mask. He just wore the skin tight suit.
He was a strange dude.
He was a very strange dude.
We really can't because we're a non-explicit podcast. We really can't tell the definitive Greg McGreg
story. We cannot. I know exactly the
story. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about. You know.
Was it cool? Yeah.
Was it cool?
I've heard the story.
So before we get off that tangent, where you guys got this one? Where are you guys reading this one?
I'm gonna go with. Well, first of all, I want to say I have very specific memories watching this as a kid. You know, I lived out in East Milton, and East Milton did not get cable till way after the rest of civilization.
Oh yeah.
So the first year of Transformers, Channel 15 would show it at 4:30 in the afternoon, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Second year, they moved it to 7:30 in the morning. So I couldn't see it because I was at school.
Oh yeah.
There was a channel in, I think, Panama City that showed it in the afternoon, that if I went to one TV on one end of the house and held the antenna just right, I could kind of watch it. But I remember watching this during the summer, like after school and ending, and just loving it. So I'm going to go with Kid Brain is going to give this 4 incognito space shuttles.
Oh.
You know, Adult Brain thought this was fine. I mostly liked remembering that kid memory of it. So I'm going to give it 3 well-ventilated high-cut robes.
Yeah, man, honestly, I'm the same way with you. I have very specific memories of this. I don't know, man. It was like one of those episodes I didn't really like as a kid, but it made me like now the Aerial Bots. It made me like them a lot more because, I don't know, they're just so much better than we first saw them.
Right.
And the very blanket Arab stuff was a little problematic, but now it's problematic in season 3's Carbomia. So right. It was okay. It made it through okay. And yeah, man, it was such a weird episode, along with the flipping purple griffin. It was like the elephant in the room. Like, why is this here? And why can't I see a name on this base? It needed to become a base and like sell it. It looks like some weird Power Rangers playset, except purple.
It's right. Real power. Oh man, it's real.
It does.
Power.
It does. Yeah. And you know, you can put everyone aside and they all fit for some reason. So yeah, man, this whole thing is just a whacked episode right along with the Rolls Royce grill. That's the one thing I remember about this episode. I remember them, their nose cones sitting in a laundry basket. And I remember the Rolls Royce grill. Other than that, man, I'm like, you know, whatever. But I loved having the Combaticons. I'm so excited for when they actually show up eventually, like later on in the season, because this isn't where they're supposed to be. It was weird and fun. It wasn't a bad episode. We've seen bad episodes. This wasn't one of those.
Right.
This is just odd. I mean, yeah. So I'll give this thing like 3.5 purple griffins that are in the episode for whatever reason and not ever mentioned again out of 5.
So is this the only time that a specific car brand has ever been mentioned on this show? Like they don't ever say that, like, hey, you know, like you're a Corvette, or hey, you're a Peterbilt or whatever.
Yeah, that is weird because they don't, all these cars are specific cars, but I don't think they ever do mention it. No,
yeah,
I don't think so. Yeah, I honestly, all these, I can't think of another one where they'll go after models of vehicles,
right?
And when we get to Starscream's Brigade, which you watched apparently part of, there's no reason why the Combaticons are like they are, because those weren't the vehicles he pulled out of the sand.
Right.
Yeah, he was pulling out like F4, like Corsairs, like World War II yeah. Corsairs, and then right. now they're like a space shuttle. Not as a space shuttle, but
yeah, apparently Onslaught was originally supposed to be like a big tank. I guess the final model was this like half track, you know, truck.
But they never mentioned like they never mentioned that like Optimus Prime is like a Peterbilt no. or whatever. No. Like they've never mentioned that. They've never mentioned that Sideswipe and Sunstreaker are like Countaches.
They've never no. mentioned that it's weird that a police car is a Datsun.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool to see, though.
They never mentioned that there's a Lamborghini fire chief.
Right. That's one I can't even tolerate. I can't, even as a kid, I was like, okay, they can't afford that. I can buy Sonny Crockett. He's undercover. I can't buy this.
They can't even pay those dudes to work. They're gonna buy a Lamborghini for the cheap.
I'm the only one who works with the fire department. Right. Sorry, guys. Get your hose out.
Everybody's a volunteer.
Yeah.
I think this may be the only time they've mentioned that, because it's like they don't talk about like Volkswagens or
no, right, they never do
anything like that. So weird.
It's kind of weird that they put out a new they did this line called Studio Series, and they came out with a Studio Series 86 Bumblebee, and the car form of him is not a VW Bug. It's like, it looks like a Penny Racer.
Yeah, it does.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah. I don't mind that at all.
I got him. He's delightful.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's really fun to transform.
Didn't Volkswagen get uppity
about a while.
All of them got uppity. Whenever you see one that is in a style of a specific car now, they've had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Didn't Volkswagen specifically say, hey, no, you can't use any Volkswagens in...
Because of World War II, and like they don't want anything associated with war.
I mean, I mean you got to kind of see their point there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally see the point. They don't want anything brought up about camps in Germany anymore. They don't want any brought up their VW
bugs. No, I mean, it's not we're gonna make us like a sci-fi show, and like Bayer are gonna make like some poison gas. Like, no, you can't.
Right.
A little too close to home.
I can understand why, for sure. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, eventually that's changed with they have like masterpiece figures, and they're actually licensed, licensed of the cars. So you'll see they'll have, you know, for like Sideswipe, it had Lamborghini's little emblem. They've actually licensed with Lamborghini to do these. And same thing they did with Bumblebee. Eventually, Volkswagen was like, yeah, it's cool. It's been long enough.
All right.
So I don't know if it's been long enough, but still.
Well, I mean, like looking at the elections over in Germany, it may not, that, I mean, that's like, yeah, kind of circle back.
That's a whole thing, man.
Yeah, but too much of a tangent. So, yeah, anything else? We got anything else?
No, man, I am glad, Jehu, you hang out with us another week, man. You're welcome to keep coming back. You know, I know your boys are like they're breeding, so you know, we're past that. You can, you know, hang out whenever you want, man.
Well, I definitely want to do Masquerade when you guys do that one.
Trans Europe Express
is my jam.
Okay.
Well, Masquerade is next week, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, come back for that one, then come back for Trans Europe Express, then. And then come back for whatever else you want, since you love podcasting as much as we do. So,
that's true. All right, y'all, take it easy. Everyone, thanks for being here. Send us, give us some thumbs up and some stars and all that. And thanks for being here. Check out, I already said that, check out Real Phonies Podcast with Jay Hughes on. And send us some emails at Ed Hates Transformers, and not that one dude keeps emailing you.
He emailed me again. Y'all put the Dune episode out. The Dune Part 2 episode is still not out yet. And I wanted to hear what you guys were talking about Dune Part 2.
Well, us?
Yeah, you didn't you tell me you guys recorded a Dune episode and it was going to come out, and it's not out.
We totally did Dune.
It's not out. Put it out.
I can't, you know, one of the things that sucks about being on your old show is I won't be able to listen to it because I cannot stand the sound of my voice. So I never listened to Phonies. I didn't know that one hadn't come out. I mean, I guess birthing them babies is hard.
Quit holding the hostage, man. Come on. I want to hear what those dudes said about Dune.
Okay.
And how Game of Thrones is just a complete ripoff of Dune.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Take it easy. See you next week.
Roll out.
The Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.